Okay, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. I hope everyone had a good little break there and got to spend some time in the marketplace. So I'd like to introduce to you Bassem Hamdi of Procure Technologies. He'll be discussing ABM, trial and error. Please join me in welcoming him.
Thank you for sticking around to the end. It's late. I know it's late and there was just a drinking session. So I'm going to go through a quick presentation, and then I'm going to just open up to Q&A. It's a small enough group. We can keep it really casual. If anybody has any questions during my presentation, feel free to just break in. Couple of things I want to just start off with is Procore is based out of the technology hotbed of Carpinteria. Does anybody in this room know where Carpinteria, California is? It's a town of 13,000 people. We've built a technology hotbed in Carpinteria. We're up to 7 buildings, 600 employees in Carp, about 750 in all of Procore. We're actually one of the fastest growing SaaS companies of all time. I don't know if anybody saw the most recent press release. Our most recent round of funding put us at unicorn status in December, which is a very big thing for us. The marketing department, just to give you an idea, is about 61 folks today. We're growing to about 90 by mid to late year. This is a marketing org that I built in a similar way at another company in Toronto, which is where I came from. I actually moved from Toronto, a Procore competitor, to Carpinteria. So I moved from a town of 6 million to a town of 13,000, which was fun, but it's a great beach town, I love it. You know, there's a couple of things that we want to talk about when we talk about ABM. As many of you know, you get probably a ton of marketing emails every day, because we're in marketing. I read all my marketing emails, even though some of the vendors think I don't. And we have a little drinking game in Procore. Every time ABM's mentioned in a marketing email, we do a shot. So we do a lot of drinking. I think ABM is a tactic, not a solution. And honestly, guys, I think technology is not what solves our problems today in marketing. I think it's process. So I'm gonna go through a few things that we've done that have made us pretty successful. And it really starts with the scorecard. At sales kickoff this year for Procore, we have about 200 sales folks across SDR and sales, and the 61 marketers were all in a room together. And the first slide I put on any sales kickoff that I've been doing for the last 15 years is, your number is my number. That's the slide. Because what their number is my number. I don't care about lead count. I don't care about MQAs. I don't care about lead velocity. I really don't. These are boring scorecards that waste everybody's time. My lead is good, my lead is bad, the BDRs don't want to call it, the event sucked, the event was great. None of that matters. The end result is that marketing is going through a transformation today. It's been going through a transformation for the last 10 years, and it's time we start accelerating this transformation. Revenue marketing is not just a word. Demand marketing isn't just a word. These are things that actually mean something. If, as a marketer in this room, how many people are marketers in this room? How many people are marketing leaders in this room? Who runs the marketing department? How many sales demos have you run in the last 30 days? I'll put on a fake name and I'll run a sales demo. That way you earn respect from the sales staff is being able to sell better than they can. And that's the deal. Marketing needs to own the revenue cycle as much as sales does. And quite frankly, in today's world, 80% of that buyer's journey is done without contact with an SDR or a salesperson. So if marketing's not doing their job, your company's not growing. So in the question that I keep on constantly hearing about, how does marketing get respect? How does marketing get budget? I have a very simple question when I talk to my CEO. You cut my budget, I cut top line, period. That's the conversation. You want to take $1 million off my haircut? I'm taking, based on my marketing ROI, $6 million off the top line. And if I can prove that to you, then I get the respect that marketing deserves. Again, revenue marketing, understanding that cycle, depends where you are, and I'm gonna give you a description of what Procore is and where I came from. So I've always been a B2B marketer, and I've always sold enterprise. When I say enterprise, I never had a product I could sell individually to a user. Never did. So, you know, in 2002, when I took over marketing, and I'm talking sticks and stones back then, we were using Goldmine. I mean, I don't even remember the email platform we were using at the time. We could not sell a single license. We were also a startup in 2002 at my old company, and we had no money. So one example I give about account-based marketing, which is something wasn't even termed back then, was I knew my target accounts. I had 3,000 enterprise target accounts I wanted. I wrote down all 3,000 target accounts. I red, yellow, green those target accounts. Based on persona, we drove, did I engage the VP HR? Did I engage the CFO? Did I engage the VP operations? How many times did I engage with them? And we started moving them from red to yellow to green. Little did I know in 2002 we were inventing ABM. The other thing I do is I contact everybody that would advertise, that we could advertise with, that talked to those 3,000 people. And the first thing I would say to them is, I have no marketing budget. I have $0. What can we do? And they would hang up. So then we start talking a little bit more. And I met with one of the editors of Time magazine for our industry. We're in the construction industry. And I said, look, I have a little bit of money. Can I hand stitch in a 4-page insert into your magazine? So can I intercept about 3,000 magazines and hand stitch it in? I'll pay for the labor. We'll put a 4-page insert and then we'll mail it out. How much would that cost me? And the editor said, well, I mean, you could do it. It probably won't result in much, but we'll do that. You're only talking to 3,000. We have 150,000 subscribers. Why do you only want to talk to these 3,000 people? I said, just trust me, let's give this a shot. So we hand-stitched in 3,000 magazines and we shipped them out. In that same issue, Oracle bought out the back cover. We look bigger than Oracle to my 3,000 target accounts. And they're like, wow, this company's arrived. We got to talk to them. And the rest is history. We grew 100% year on year from there. And that's how you get scrappy. ABM and targeting isn't about spending more money, it's about spending less. It's about the race to zero in cost per lead. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. So these are the tactics that we employed. I took over marketing at Procore around May 2015. These are the 6 items I put on the screen in the marketing group. The marketing group was what I euphemistically say was the pretty picture group. It was 16 people. They were known as creating decks and ads and logos. So that was the marketing group. We built that out. They all, by the way, all 16 people are amazing. They're all still with Procore. They've moved into revenue marketing positions. Nobody in Procore marketing was on bonus or any kind of performance. Everybody in Procore marketing today is on revenue bonuses. They're on, you know, like the saying goes, everybody's on commission. Only salespeople know it. Everybody's on commission in Procore marketing. So these are the 6 things that we said we were going to do, and we're going to go through a couple of things that we did. So micro-segmentation. Everybody's a niche marketer. I don't care if you're selling to 100 million people or, in our case, 100,000 accounts. So we went through and we analyzed, reanalyzed, talked to every client, talked to every closed loss, went to every trade show, went to every association, and found out what was different between each of those 100,000 accounts. And we put them in like groups. We're in construction, so it's really easy to say there's 100,000 construction companies. But a construction company in New York is different than a construction company in Florida. In New York, they're a union. Florida's non-union. In New York, it snows. Florida, it doesn't snow. We have hurricanes in Florida. In Phoenix, it's a mixture. It's 120 degrees. You got to start construction in Phoenix at 3 a.m. Heat stroke's a problem in Phoenix, not so much in Canada. So all of this happens, and we start bucketing these folks. Bucket, bucket, bucket. So we go from 100,000 accounts to buckets of 1,000 each. Those buckets grew a little bit. But we have about 30 buckets now. So what do we start doing? We start marketing through traditional channels, email, you know, everybody knows the drill. We have 13 active channels. All 13 active channels started getting these conversations. If you look at, these are the numbers today. It's 4 times more likely at Procore if an account's being warmed up by marketing for it to close. By segment, big, middle, small. 4 times more likely. So How do I get SDRs to call my leads? I tell them you're gonna make more money because my leads are better than calling cold. So that's cold above. That's what happens at MQA, a marketing qualified account. That is micro-segmentation. That's knowing exactly what they're talking about. Send an email that says, you don't want your guys to suffer heat stroke to a bunch of contractors in Arizona, you're gonna get click-through rates of 30%. Send out a marketing email about construction software, you're gonna get a click-through rate of 1%. So that's how we did that. Next thing we did, we use a great tool called Bizible. Does anybody use Bizible in the room? No one. We were an early adopter of Bizible, love the guys there. Took a lot of work to implement. I think they're getting to a point where, you know, the data is better and better, and the company's getting better and better. I highly recommend Bizible. We actually wash all the data through Salesforce. I got sales ops to validate my Bizible data, because the last thing I want is to go into an executive meeting or a board meeting, which I did last week, and present this number and be like, marketing says it's 80% marketing attributed. Like, I don't want to have to do that. So we got sales ops to validate these numbers. So 80% of all marketing leads come through, or all revenue at Procore is marketing attributed. 62% of pipeline. What does that tell you? Marketing closes stuff faster. So that's another thing. Why did this number happen? So I micro-segmented account Florida, Arizona. We worked on micro-segmentations of persona. That means product marketing interviewed dozens of people that work at construction companies and said, this demographic, it goes to very B2C worlds. This demographic, if they have this job title and they're between the ages of 20 and 30, energizing their career is really important to them. But if they have this exact same job title and they're in the ages of 40 to 50, security is really important to them. Nothing's easy, there's no magic bullet, this took time. There was a lot of trial and error. We made assumptions sometimes and send out messaging that were highly rejected. But ultimately, over the 18 months that we implemented this persona-based messaging, these are the results that we received. So we went in and took the niche that we were in, 100,000 accounts, broke them down into 30 buckets that were highly segmented or micro-segmented, and then we took the personas within there and actually did demographic segmented. So when somebody says, is he in finance or is she in IT? That's not good enough. Title is not a segment, persona-based segment. It's, are they in IT and do they think like this? Because if you can talk to them the way they think, you're in a much better position to actually drive these kind of numbers. So those are the two main things that we did. The two first things, micro-segmentations and persona. And then we had this crazy idea that we were gonna create a new site for construction, which we did. It's called JobSite. It's a news magazine, online news magazine. We have about 6 writers nationwide that write for the JobSite. It is not about Procore, it is about construction. It has, it's launched April 22nd. I was shocked at the success. I know our editor-in-chief gets offended when I say this. So the largest periodical in construction has about 100,000 subscribers. Today, as of right now, we just crested the 200,000 subscriber mark in the job site. It's just been going off crazy. And you know what the job site does? It provides value to the industry. This is about educating, not selling. We're talking about, say, silica, which is almost as bad as asbestos, is a big issue for workers in construction. So we had an expose on silica. It has nothing to do, like Procore is a software company, we have nothing to do with silica. But the point is though, that expose drove a whole bunch of webinars, a whole bunch of click through. Guess what, there's one ad on JobSite and that ad is driven by Procore, we own that ad campaign. So ultimately, our organic searches grew by 95%. Because anything that you could ever imagine about construction that is organically searched is found on the job site. This was not an expensive endeavor. It didn't cost us very much. The writers are mainly freelance. We have one full-time FTE that is the editor-in-chief and another full-time FTE doing digital management. This is the CMS and writing stories. So ultimately what we did is just wrote really good stories, and it's the only channel that Procore is the only sponsor on. So Educating instead of selling drove a huge amount of organic. And quite frankly, right now, when I talk about marketing ROI, our organic channel is the third highest ROI channel when I cost the team against it. The engagements went up, as you can probably imagine. These are MQA engagements. January was a great month. This is continually up and to the right. Up and to the right is good, as most of you guys know. MQAs in September were just under 500, which is about average up to this point. We hit just over 3,500 in January. This is the culmination of a ton of work to get there. So ultimately, a marketing qualified account, which is an account in our addressable market, defined in those 30 buckets by persona engaged with that marketing qualified account, went up, you know, 5, 6, 7-fold. And then this is the one thing that board, you know, everybody asks, how do you get respect from your board of directors or the executives? I come into a meeting and say, I want my marketing budget to be zero because I want to own every channel. I want to own internal webinars. I want to own all news. I want to own all content syndication. I want my list to be clean and 200,000 people. So I call it the race to zero. By doing all of this, we ended up driving cost per lead down to $56. So that's really what we did. We started very simple. We said, I know what my addressable market is. That addressable market is too widely defined, so we redefined it. Then I said, I know who I want to talk to. That's too widely defined, so I wrote persona-based articles that weren't like, you know, you see a lot of one-page persona-based descriptions, which is like Frankie the subcontractor. And they're very, very high level that nobody ever reads. Get into their brain and talk about what they're actually caring about and do pure demographic. And that's the kind of results that we drove. One of the biggest things that I talk about is know your product cold. And that means that marketing also needs to have a group of people on staff that go beyond product marketing. We have a group, we call them field marketers. They're evangelists from the industry that work for marketing that go to trade shows. So there's no more beg, borrowing, and stealing from sales to show up at a trade show. These guys are comped on leads from a trade show. They're comped on pipeline generated from trade shows, and they're comped on closed won from trade shows. We also do affinity trade shows. They're called bro shows. They're Procore hosted, very similar to the job site. They're thought leadership driven. We did about 70 of those last year. They do a lot of dinners. They're personalities in the industry that they work in. So they do a lot of dinners, and that drives a lot of traffic. The webinars also drive through a lot of traffic. Yes, we sponsor webinars. They sometimes cost me upwards of $15,000 to $20,000, depending on the topic and the list. But our internal webinars drive over 1,000 engagements every time we do one. I did one called the 2016 Technology Forecast. We had 1,000 engagements. 80% of them were unknown to Procore. So 80% of them were clean, net new. And that's a free channel. I did it. It's my salary, I guess. But ultimately, it was a free channel. Because we own the product vision, and because we understand the product, and because we understand the industry in marketing, we didn't have to beg and borrow from product, from R&D, from sales. We built a mini product org within marketing. Product marketing is a big part of marketing, obviously, so they are there. And then we have these great evangelists that are field marketers. They're pseudo SEs. They're pseudo speak thought leaders. They drive a lot of great articles. They go out there and they do any kind of topic, and they are just a machine for churning out more. How did we select these field marketers? Well, they were personas that the people we hired were personas that we're targeting in our target accounts. So they know how to talk to them. You know, we hired somebody that was in the demographic of 40 to 50, project manager, in the job for 20 years. He speaks to these guys so well. He just drives a ton of traffic. I also hired that project engineer between the ages of 20 and 30 that talks all day long about electrifying your career, because that's what a project engineer that's 25 years old cares about. They want to build their resume. So these are the types of things that we did. So personalization all the way down to persona and then knowing the product cold. And then we talk about being a full funnel marketer. This is our marketing ROI percentage. This is no guff. That means every dollar that goes in Procore produces $6 in revenue. This is quite an amazing number. That's the number. We are full funnel marketers. I look at first touch. How did I acquire them from unknown to known? Lead create to op create to closed one, and then to renewal. So, yes, we have all the technology in the world. We have 17 now technologies in our marketing stack. What? Don't get me wrong. But all of that drives some very basic math. I want to take somebody that I'm targeting and turn them from unknown to known, and then I want them to be compelled to either interact with content, show up at an event, or show up at a webinar, and I'm going to compel them because I know what they're thinking, hopefully. And then we want to go in and compel them to create an opportunity with Procore. We want to compel them to create pipeline. A lot of people shut off marketing once there's been a lead created. That is the biggest waste of marketing you could imagine. If the guy or the person is in funnel, if they're there and about to be created pipeline, marketing should be targeting very specific messaging to the folks at that person's company and to that person that will be engaged as an opportunity to create. And then we did things like little tricks, reference roundtables. So a webinar that has five people that we specifically targeted to close 10 accounts. Those are closed one touch points. We invite those 10 account decision makers. We have these five, generally their competitors, online talking about how great Procore is and how they're winning business against these 10 people because they have a better technology stack. It's usually a very good closed one touch point. But every single tactic that you engage in needs to be engaged around that full funnel thought process. And I say this again, it's what was old is new again. Account-based marketing isn't new. It really isn't. It's a new term that we've stamped on something that marketing has known all along, which is you gotta know who you're talking to, you gotta know which accounts you wanna get, you gotta know how to convert them into revenue. So as much as I love account-based marketing as a term because it encapsulates so much, sometimes it creates a little FUD. Sometimes it's a little, you know, is this a new thing? And when you present it, oh, we're account-based marketers. When you present this thing, it's just very easy to say, listen, account-based marketing is a tactic in marketing being the revenue driver of this company. And I think that's the way I term it inside Procore as best I can. All right, 5 minutes left, questions and answers. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Right. So the biggest thing it affected was our content strategy team first, and it, you know, tripled their workload in a lot of cases. So that was the first thing. It impacted them. So when I said, hey, you know, you guys were writing to the project manager at a construction company, surprise, now you're writing to six different project managers at the same construction company, they panicked a little bit. So we invested a lot into hiring writers. So the first impact was creating the content machine. That we could drive that content. Because you can have the best data about who these people are and what they like, but if you don't have things to back it up, I mean, it's not useful, right? So we did drive that, and we initially started with a smaller content strategy team, and we just gave them a word count total. We said, produce 40,000 words a month and check back in, and we didn't really give them a lot of structure around ebooks or blog posting. We let them decide what they wanted to create, so that gave them a lot of autonomy. And so there wasn't as much pushback, but they had to create a scorecard for everything they wrote, which was this persona, this demographic, this area, and then they would deliver the content and then we push it through demand gen, or what we call agile engagement. That's what that department's called. So it really affected them first. It didn't really affect the channels we worked. So we might have three internal webinars running at the same time, but we're cherry picking names and lists anyway. So they won't impact each other. So if I'm running a webinar about excel in your career, project engineer that's really young, or be really safe and go home early, you know, superintendent that's been at the job for 30 years, You know, those are two pieces of content that we've driven. Now we have to have two webinars. So it does, you know, it's a pretty big org now. It's growing, but it does add a lot of work. I'm not going to hide that. Oh, yes, sir. Lots, right. So we started with the big issues. So for example, like safety issues or, you know, the age or the weather. So we, and then experimentation. So if we sent out an email, we'd send out an email with six stories on it, and then we track click through, and then on-site performance. So if a story wasn't resonating, you're not getting click through, we know that nobody cares about that. People love safety and quality, for instance, if they're of a certain age group. You know, people over the age of 40 or 50, we started a series about health and wellness in this industry. Believe it or not, construction is the number two highest suicide industry in the U.S. So just mental health, taking care of your employees, you know, how do you know if something's going on? There was a lot of heat stroke in Arizona. We started sending out those stories. We would see what was happening. And we'd create a sample size large enough to see what the click-through was. I think one of the mistakes we did early on that other folks can avoid is we'd have like a 300-person sample size and go, oh, that story's not resonating. Well, it's 300 people. It didn't resonate with them. So we increased it to 2,000 or 3,000, and we'd actually see results. We need those content writers to be ninjas at the product in the industry. So that, absolutely. They are on product discovery calls with product managers. They go on product meetings with product marketers. They talk to our customers constantly. We do 2,000 deep dives with our clients a month at Procore. So there's a lot of access to our clients. Content marketers are, you know, we need them to talk to our clients and talk to the industry. We drag content marketers to trade shows. The investment of taking a content marketer to, believe it or not, I go to a trade show called World of Concrete. Yes, I go to a trade. I've been there 17 times in my life, so it's a sad story. But dragging a content marketer to World of Concrete costs, what, $2,000 in travel? It's invaluable for that person to be there for a week because they get so many stories. Also, content marketers never, like, they didn't become writers. Like, I started as wanting to be a writer. I mean, they didn't become writers so they could write, you know, clickbait. So make them feel journalistic, and you should see what the content becomes. So, you know, having them interview clients, prospects, other folks in the industry, not just about how great is construction project management software, but about things that matter, you get better content. But yeah, definitely, your content marketers have to be as embedded in the client as an R&D employee. That's the question. So we're using Bizible full cycle. So I have two models. A few of you guys know or run Bizible. Do you know Bizible at all? Do you know what, we do W attribution, which would be first touch, lead create, op create, which is 33, 33, 33 for pipeline. So I do pipeline attribution on W, and then full cycle, which is 25, 25, 25, 25. First touch, lead create, op create, closed one. I also have custom models that I use personally for forecasting of budget, because as much as, you know, it's great, 25, 25, 25, but I weight certain touch points a little higher. So a face-to-face touch point, in my mind, is worth a hell of a lot more than an electronic engagement. So if a field marketer has taken you for dinner, I think that's a more valuable touch point than somebody's clicked and filled out a webinar form. So I do that personally, but the numbers are pretty 25, 25, 25.
Okay, I think we're going to have to wrap it up. That was great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for sticking around to the
end. Yeah, great way to wrap up the ABM track. So.